11 and 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So I'd like to take that verse and apply it to us today in 2021. We've been given some promises that out ahead in eternity there is a heaven for us to dwell in. And here it says, we saw them afar off. We're persuaded of them. We embrace them. We embrace those promises. Yes. And we confess that we are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So I was thinking, you know, if we can be really persuaded of a heaven out ahead for us, if we'll be faithful, if we will embrace that promise that is given to us, and then if we will confess not just by my words, but by my life, I'm a stranger here on this earth. Goes on down in those next verses. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Without me having to say it with my mouth, am I declaring plainly that I'm seeking a country? By the things that I value in my life. You know, this morning, coming out to service when it's a beautiful day is part of that embracing the promise and confessing that we are strangers and pilgrims here. We're seeking another country. And meeting together today and reading the Word of God and embracing it and living to it is part of that. Declared plainly that they seek a country. If they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. You know what, in 2021, every one of us have a choice that we can make. We can return to this earthly country. We can lay aside the goals that we have of making heaven our home and seeking that. We were a stranger and a pilgrim on the earth, but at any time, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Today, each of us can make a decision at any time. I want to return back to the world. The things in the world are drawing me. But these folks were different. It says, but now they desire a better country. That is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So I've been thinking about this. Can the world see plainly that I'm a citizen of another country and that I'm just passing through this? I was looking at that song that we sing sometime. It says, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I cannot feel at home in this world anymore. And then it says, just over in glory land, we'll live eternally. The sights on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Now, what's the balance for that? Should I be living as if I cannot stand to stay here anymore? I am a stranger and a pilgrim here, and I cannot stand staying here anymore. I will only be happy when I get to go to heaven. That's not where we live. That's not where we should live. Don't have any contentment. I don't have any happiness here in this life. You know, I believe God made this earth for us to be able to enjoy it. In Genesis 1, when we read each of the things that he made, he could have made it so different for us. We look at the greenery today that came back just from a little bit of rain over a few days. The flowers that he allowed to be made, they were for our enjoyment. And I believe the Lord would like for us while we're here to enjoy the things that he gave us. You remember one of the things that got Eve when she saw the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was it was pleasant to the eyes. You know, God made a whole lot of things that are just that way for us. They're not sinful. They're pleasant for the eye. You look at a lot of the trees that we have, the flowers that we have, these temporal blessings. You know, I think what it should do to me is as I see these, that in my mind I say, wow, if God made this, what is it going to be in that other country? Yeah. What will he have prepared for us? There is a verse in Proverbs 29 and 18. This verse can be used many different ways, but I would like to use it this way. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. We each one today need to have a vision, yes, of heaven. Realizing that I'm not going to always stay here. I'm leaving here someday. Because it's real easy for us to get to where we live as if I'm going to always stay here. And you know, where is the balance for us in 2021? I thought of the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness, you know, headed for the Canaan land where there is no vision, the people perish. You know, I think they lost the vision of what was out ahead for them, what God had prepared for them. When they came to the place that even when they saw and heard, saw the grapes that it took two men to carry a cluster of them back and saw what the land had for them, they said, we're not able to do it. In fact, what they did, you remember it says, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. You know, they came to that place, the children of Israel did. They took a look at what God had to offer them, and they had a mind to return. You remember, they looked back at Egypt, and what were the things that they could remember? In Numbers, the 11th chapter, and in the 5th verse, when disappointments came to them, they began to look at some things, and here is what they were able to remember. You know, we read the stories where they were beaten. We read the story of how the boys' children were to be killed. Moses was put in a basket so he would not be killed as a baby. But you know what? Was that what they remembered when they looked back to Egypt? Did they say, we are so thankful that we are here? Because I remember the little children that were killed because they didn't want any more boys to grow up. Well, that's not what they remembered. The 11th chapter and in the 5th verse, there was something else that they were remembering. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. Our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. So they looked at where God had them right then. Yes. And he had a promise for them, just like the Lord has a promise for us of heaven out ahead. And you know what we can do if we're not careful? If we're mindful of this country from which we have left, there are many, many people making decisions. I'm going back. Maybe they wouldn't say it in their heart. Maybe what they even say is, I just see it a little different today than I used to see it, but going back in their heart. So I was thinking of that there was a song, Don't Turn Back to the Things That We Have Left Behind. Yeah. And there was a verse, I think maybe even in Sunday school class this morning. If I make myself a transgressor, if I build again, the things that I once destroyed. You know, this journey that we're taking on our way to this other country could take us many years. A lot of things can happen in our life. It would be one thing to be like the thief on the cross. I just asked the Lord, would you remember me?
Yes.
And he's in heaven that night or however soon it was. That would be great. But that's not the way it's going to be for most of us. We're going to have a period of time to live and show the Lord that we will be faithful. Don't turn back to the things that we've left behind.
Yeah.
It made me think about Pilgrim's Progress. Christian on his journey, when he started out, he had to put his fingers in his ears and he cried, life, life, eternal life. Because there were many people that cared about him. His family was one of them, asking him to turn back, stay here with us. But he says, I've got to have life. Well, he traveled on his journey, and part of this travel, you know, there were some times when he got off the path. He went the wrong direction and got himself in trouble. But part of that path that leads to the celestial city led him through a town called Vanity. And it said it was called there was a vanity fair there. And the sights and the smells and the things that you could buy, and you could even get property there and stay. What it is the world that's all around us today is saying, come and enjoy what we have to offer. But you know, Christian had his mind set. I've got to travel through this. He was not on a wrong path. It wasn't something that his heart was drawn to go through this town. It was part of the way for him to make it to the celestial city. Today, that's the same with us. We are still in this life. We're having to go through Vanity Fair and yet keep our eyes on, I'm headed for the celestial city. Yes. I'm not going to let these things cause me to, my attention to be diverted. And remember, it said they were taken into questioning. Part of the things that they told them was, we're pilgrims and strangers in this world. We're on our way to our own country. We've got to pass through here, but we're not staying. We're moving on. And it made me think of another verse over in John, the 17th chapter, where Jesus was praying. Did he pray, Father, I want you to make it to where they don't have to go through Vanity Fair? What did he say in 17 and 14? I have given them thy word. The world hath hated them because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I look at those verses. You know what? God's plan is not to say, okay, I'm going to take you out of this world. I'm going to move you all down to Monarch, and we're going to close the gates to where the world can't reach in there to you. No, what he says is, I'm not praying that you should take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. And what that's going to require is I'm going to have to always keep a focus. You know what? I'm a stranger and a pilgrim here. I'm moving through this life. I'm headed for another country. There's a little verse, Psalms 119 and 109. My soul is continually in my hands. The decisions that I make each day are what decides if I will go back to this other country. The things that become important to me, focusing on the prize that's ahead of heaven. I was thinking of how it was described over here in Matthew 24, because here we are preparing to be able to go to that other country. 24 and 42. Watch therefore, ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Yes. So look at this. This is the transition. I've been testifying that I am a pilgrim and a stranger. Now I'm going to get to make the change. Watch therefore, ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Know this. If the goodman of house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. He would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And here is how I would like to be living. The person there in Hebrews 11 that said, I'm a stranger and I'm a pilgrim. I'm headed for another country. This is what he's doing. Who then is a faithful and a wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Just doing the things that I know the Lord would be pleased with for me to do. Laying aside those things that could hinder me on my journey of making heaven my home. So it is so valuable for me. In 2 Timothy, it tells us, 2 Timothy 2 and 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Now, what is the balance? Because I have a lot of affairs of this life. Tomorrow, I'll go back to work. I have a home. I've got a place to take care of. I've got family. But what that's doing is I don't allow any of it to entangle me to the point that it bothers this journey that I'm making. This view in my mind that I am headed for another country. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through it. Because here's that chapter does not end with that. That's a good verse to end with. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. But it goes on down. He'll make him ruler over all his goods. But then here it starts on the other side. But if that evil servant should say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. That's what we want to be very careful about. When the Lord does not come quickly, does it change how I live? Help me to live just as carefully today, tomorrow, each day, when I don't know. Because apparently this servant, when he decided my Lord delayeth his coming, what are my reactions to that? Here's his reactions. He shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware. Cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A failure to keep up with my experience. My Lord delayeth his coming. So what do I do? You know, at that time is when I really need to focus. There's a heaven out there and I want to make it. I don't want to do anything that would hinder it. So with this verse, my Lord delayeth his coming, makes me think of Matthew 25. There were five wise, there were five foolish. You know, we could kind of say that they were looking toward going to another country. They had something out ahead for them. But five of them failed to be ready when that time came. None of us know what day. You know, we keep on hearing requests so often of someone that was healthy 2 weeks ago, and now they got COVID, and they're out in eternity, and the family is devastated from it. Or it could be heart attack or anything. So it's a reminder to me. I claim that I'm a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth. Lord, help me to lay aside those things that will be a hindrance to me, because I don't know what day I cross over with the testimony that I'm a stranger and a pilgrim. I don't want to be one of those that just turns away and just goes after the world as if there will be no end coming. But, you know, nor do I want to be one that can justify myself in the direction that I'm going. I believe I can make heaven this way. I need the Lord to be able to guide me. There is another verse that I'd like for us to look at in 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians, the 7th chapter. Because, you know, with us being here and how we handle the world, 7 and 31. They that use this world, and you know what? We use this world. Yes. We live in this world. We go to stores. We have to work to make money. As not abusing it. For the fashion of this world passeth away. They that use this world, we all do. Yet not abusing it, don't forget I'm a stranger and a pilgrim in this country. It says, for the fashion of it passeth away. There were two places that I looked in a commentary. It says, if the fashion of this world passes away like the shifting scenes of a stage play. Here's this one, and now it's moved to another one. But it said also, remember, the world itself is going to pass away. The fashion of it, what we see this world to be today, will one day be gone. Help me to keep a focus. So with these things, searching for myself, how do I find a balance for today? You know, we cannot shut off the world itself as far as us using it. We will be going to work tomorrow. We will use money for buying groceries and other things. But you know, there's so many places that says, if it increases, don't set your heart on it. Realizing that, you know what, should it go away, I guess one of the tests for it would be what happened to Job, one of the wealthiest men of the East. But you know what, he didn't have his heart set on it. When it was all gone in one day, he was able to still pray to the Lord and say, the Lord gave it, the Lord hath taken it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For us to be able to live in that place would be good. In Colossians, the third chapter, if I've got this, I'm saying that I'm a stranger and a pilgrim. Here's something that needs to go along with that. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. You know, that's an opportunity for all of us when we are crowded so much with the world around us that we would seek those things which are above. And one of the first places for doing that, as I'm finding, is in my mind. Seek those things which are above. Lord, help me to spend more time thinking about your word, thinking about you. Today was such a beautiful day to walk outside and just thank the Lord for what he has given us. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And we're doing that this morning as we come to service. Yes. There are a lot of other things that we could do. There's a lot of people in this world today that say Sunday is the only day that I get to have for myself. And I'm going to take it for myself. We're saying, I want to set my affections on things above and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You know, we haven't sung it for quite a while, but there's a song in our blue book, maybe 64, A New Creature. Ye are dead. Physically? No. Dead to the world. That number 64, it says, dead to the world, to voices that call me. Yes. You know what? There's a lot of voices that are calling for our attention. It says, dead to the world, to voices that call me, living anew, obedient and free. Yes. Dead to the joys that once did enthrall me. It's not I, it's Christ that's living in me. For me to be able to make heaven my home, because here it's coming on down in that third chapter, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And so to be able to be ready, you know, I want to have more than just saying with my mouth, I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. I'm on my way to heaven. This one, right after I have done all these things, seeking those things which are above, it tells me in the fifth verse, mortify, kill some of those things that the world is calling for. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. You know, we're living in a time where good is called evil, and evil is called good. But you know what? With me having a testimony that I'm on my way to heaven, I'm a pilgrim and a stranger, that I would lay aside every weight. It doesn't have to be sinful things. It's just things that can occupy my mind, my time too much. And the Lord is able to help each one of us to know what those can be. There's another verse in Galatians. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Nevertheless, I live, yet it's not I, but Christ liveth in me. There's another verse that I'd like to look at, Romans, the 6th chapter. Because this is a choice that we make. It's not something that is forced on us. 6th chapter and 11th verse. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead to sin, alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. It's one thing for me to testify I'm a Christian and I'm on my way to heaven. It's another thing for me to mortify those things that that Satan would like to bring into my life. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. The religious world around us will say you can't live free from sin. But you know what I'm saying? I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. I'm headed for another country. And this one says, I could put these verses in the list of things I need to be doing to make that other country. Don't yield yourselves, members, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Yield yourselves to God. Paul took a look at all this, and he said in 2 Corinthians 4 and 16, though the outward man perish, and you know what, the world around us will give everything to keep the outward man from perishing. But this one says, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. I am thankful for that, because the world would give all of their money if health could be restored to them. The Christian says, I'm a stranger and a pilgrim here. I'm headed for another country. It's going to take something for me to be able to swap from this country to the other, and I commit it into the Lord's hands. So what he said in the 4th chapter, he looked at it this way. 4:17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You remember all the troubles that came into his life? And yet he said it's a light affliction. You know, he was a stranger and a pilgrim. He saw all of that as a light affliction. How was it? Because he had a vision of heaven. It's out ahead for him, and he's going to make it. So here's what he did. He said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. Being able to separate the things that are temporal and the things that are eternal, and putting value to those that are eternal. Those are the most important thing. So for us, as we go from here, let's remember, this world is not my home. I'm passing through here. I have a testimony that I'm headed for another country. Every one of us have an opportunity to turn around and go back to the world if we want to. But let's keep our vision very clear. Let's understand what it's going to cost to turn around and go back. We want to be faithful. We want to make heaven our home. Don't yield yourselves, members, to sin, but yield it to God. And we can make heaven our home. I'm very thankful for that. I desire prayer. There's a song, I think it's number 213. Over and over in that song, I don't know how many times you would find this phrase, ever keep heaven in view. Let's sing that song. And I think maybe they have said it so many times in that song because we need to be reminded that many times. The world is drawing us, not on, maybe not for us for sinful things, but just to get too caught up in the temporal that we forget about the eternal.